Good morning. And for those who are watching online, good morning to you as well. Thanks for sticking with us as we had some technical difficulties with the sound, but I understand that we are live now. So if you're watching online, give me a thumbs up. And if you see, whoa, here we go. There we go. My wire. There we go. Maybe. Hey, today's going to be as good as God wants it to be, okay? Which is fantastic. We don't gather together for perfection. We gather together for worship, amen? I've been here a long time, 18 years, 11 months, one day, not counting. And I've realized, I'm thinking about this morning. Let's try this. I bet that's what it is, too. You know what? We're going to go. No? Oh, we're going to try this. Perfect. If I shake. Oh, man, now I'm really thrown off. Nope. Test. There we go. Maybe. We'll see. Okay. All right, yeah. Hey, if you are at all interested in technology or sound or anything, I just want to applaud our tech team. They are phenomenal. Like, absolutely none of that was their fault. It was my fault. And I got a text as we were just starting to sing from somebody watching online saying, hey, sorry to bug you, sound's not working. And I went back there, and they were flying around, digging under stuff, looking for wires and things, and Kyle's pushing buttons, keeping us up to speed. And so for everybody, not just today, but everybody who works back there, that is a vital ministry. Thank you for that. So let me see. Where am I going? Long time. Yeah, I'm not sure I know where I'm going either. Long time. I was thinking about this morning. Back when I first started preaching regularly, I would give examples about camping and kayaking and running and things like that. And now I give examples about doctors. Okay, so I was reminded this past week about something I already knew, but I had to be reminded about it because I forgot, right? If you were here with us last week, you heard me say I'm having trouble hearing out of my right ear. Nothing's been fixed. Month or so ago, I went to an urgent care, and you know, they looked inside and said, no, it looks great, it looks clean, I don't know what's wrong, go to the ENT, the specialists, and I haven't had a chance to go there because the appointment's not till like, I don't know, end of April or something. So I went to a different doctor this week, a doctor my wife has been seeing now for several years, just to see if she could help me out, right? I am, honestly, I'm looking for that magic pill. Just take this and it'll get better. When I got home, tremendous experience. I still can't hear, okay? She didn't fix me. She's not a magician. She's not God. But I was reminded of something that I'd already known. The doctors in urgent care and in hospitals, for the most part, are MDs, right? Doctors of medicine. They practice allopathic, is that the? Yeah, allopathic medicine. Which basically means they use scientific stuff to diagnose the problem and then drugs and surgeries and diagnoses to fix it. Yeah, that's what we're used to. Anybody ever seen an MD? Raise your hand if you've ever seen an MD. Okay? If you have not, you might not have been born. Wow, okay. So I was talking to my wife about how good of an experience it was when I had just seen her doctor. She said, you know, she's a different type of doctor. What do you mean? Well, she's a DO, not an MD. I'm like, what? I knew this, but I had to be reminded of it. So I had to do a whole bunch of research to realize I had already known it, but didn't know it. A DO, doctor of osteopathic medicine. Okay? Am I saying that right? Yeah? Okay, just if not, just bear with me. I'm not good at science. I'll tell you about that in a second. So doctors of osteopathic medicine have the same training as MDs, but they do more training, and they tend to view the patient more holistically, okay? Which is cool. So like I said, I don't know science very well. All right, I took earth science and biology in high school. That's as far as I was required to go. That's as far as I went. So I don't really understand what I just said. So I'm going to try and explain it in a way that even I can understand. Okay? I learned the difference between MDs and DOs. MDs, if you go to an MD with a really bad headache, they're going to give you an Advil. Right? Hopefully maybe two or three. If you go to a DO with a really bad headache, they may give you an Advil, but they're also going to ask you, how much water did you drink that day? And how has stress at work been? And how is your posture affecting your alignment? Therefore, it could affect your head. You see, it's more holistic. I'm not criticizing one or the other. I've been treated well by DOs and MDs throughout my entire life. So I was thinking about it, and I really appreciate the holistic approach. Like, take a look at all of me. See if the reason I can't hear is because my left toenail's ingrown. I mean, it's not. But, you know, let's go that holistic picture. I've come to appreciate that. How can we live a holistic life as followers of Jesus? How can we live with our whole selves as we try to follow the way of Jesus? See, I think in a lot of ways we practice life like medical doctors. Again, not knocking, please don't hear me, I'm not elevating one or the other, but we kind of compartmentalize. We've got our spiritual life, we've got our work life, we've got our social life, we've got our family life, and in order to make sure we're living a holistic life in those, let's see, we have little routines, we have things that we do. So for family life, maybe we have an evening bedtime ritual, especially if we've got little kids, and if we don't, we still have an evening bedtime ritual, it's just a whole lot easier. Okay. Then for our social life, maybe we get together with our friends once a month and play games or watch movies or something. And for our work life, we go to work and work and work, and then if we're retired, then we work even harder than we work, is what I hear. And then for our spiritual life, we have our devotions, right? Our 5 to 10 to 15 hour devotions every day, and then we'll go to church on a Sunday and maybe be in a small group and see if we're doing all those compartmentalized things well, then we're living holistically, am I right? I mean, with how we started this morning, I'm not sure what I'm saying. So I want us to wrestle with how we live a holistic life, how we live a life of wholeness. And here's where this stemmed from. Last fall, I believe it was, Trevor and Edie were having a conversation about living a whole life, right? And they were talking about what would it look like and what does Scripture say about it. And they ended up landing on a verse, a couple of passages in the Scripture that talked about how we can live a holistic life. And the Jewish people call these verses the Shema. You say Shema? Shema. You've probably heard sermons on it. This is our next sermon series. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to see if we can't dig a little deeper. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for in the hiccups of technology and whatever other things that have captured our minds and hearts as we've gathered together. I thank you that you have the ability to center us, to bring us in. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to have a perfect worship service in order to worship you. You ask us to come to you as we are and to be present. So help us be present this morning, Lord, as we look at where you are going to take us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you got a Bible, go ahead and turn or tap to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Stick a finger there, and then also turn to Mark chapter 12. As you are turning there, I am going to read the Shema. You guys will recognize it as soon as I start. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Kind of sounds like a song we sang this morning. That was smooth, Tim. Can we do that again next week? Maybe. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're walking on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. That is what is commonly known as the Shema. Okay? It's part of the instructions that God gave Moses to give to the Israelites on how to live a wholehearted, holistic life following him. These instructions became a prayer for the Jewish people. A belief in one God, a reminder in that, but a very important prayer that actually many Jewish people would say is the most important prayer for a Jew in their practicing of faith. It's recited at least twice a day, once in the morning worship, once in the evening worship, and I'm not even doing justice to how important this prayer is for the people. All right? I'm going to have you guys read it with me. We're going to read it from the screen. It's going to be multiple slides. We'll know we're at the end when we talk about gates, okay? So read this with me as if it's a prayer. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I was thinking about this passage this week, and I was trying to figure out why would this be the passage that became such an important prayer for the Jewish people. And then I kind of started wondering, is it because it's a blueprint for wholeness? Is it a blueprint for wholeness? Over the next 4 weeks, we're doing a sermon series called, I don't know what it's called. Shoot. Thank you. Jesus and the Shema. There we go. Where we will be looking at the four elements, the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength. Now, you may be wondering, that thing we just read said nothing about the mind. Well, you're right. But when Jesus was asked about this, the most important command, he added that. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28-30. So one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus had a whole list of like 613 of them that he could have chose from. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." Jesus and the Shema, perhaps a blueprint for wholeness. We're gonna look at heart today. You may have picked up on that theme as we were worshiping. I did some digging this last week to figure out what the word heart meant in the scriptures. All right, and I found some things out that I'm going to share with you, which is what I do on a Sunday morning, right? Somebody say amen, maybe? That wasn't, okay. All right, in the Old Testament, the word that we translate as heart is lebab. I want you to say that with me, lebab. One more time, lebab. I was looking at this word this morning, and I thought to myself, that sounds like a French version of VeggieTales, doesn't it? Sorry, if you don't know what that is, that's okay. Lebab, 252 times in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, this word is used. All right? In the New Testament, in the Christian scriptures, the Greek word that we translate as heart is cardia. You say that with me, cardia. All right, it's used over 800 times. So this morning I figured we'd look at those 800 times, we'd add the 252 times in the Old Testament, and we'd look at a total of 1,052 verses. Sound good? Thank you, Tommy, for at least having a realistic like, oh, hold on, man. I got something to do on Tuesday. Are you sure we're going to look at that many? No. I dug deep and deep and deep this past week looking at most of those verses. Can't say I looked at all of them, but when I came up for air, I was like, we got to keep it simple. We really do, okay? So heart. When we think about heart today, what do we think about? Legitimate question. Dr. Bills. Okay, so we're thinking about the organ that pumps, right? Pumps blood. life, love. Not yet. We can't think. Well, you might think about that. You probably got a better picture of heart than I did. I thought about emotions and feelings. Okay? You think about emotions and feelings when you think about heart? Anybody ever been in junior high? Okay, some of you it was a while ago, some of you you're currently in it. When you're sitting next to that crush you have in math class, and your heart just kind of, then we think about heart, right? When we have somebody we're romantically interested in, we are encouraged to share your heart with them. What are we saying? Share our emotions, right? Share our feelings with them. If we're talking about, you know, looking at for different jobs and we've narrowed down the search to two different jobs and you're just wrestling with which one you should go with, you're bound to have somebody say to you, well, just follow your heart. Go to the one that you feel better about. Right? So feelings, emotions, this is part of, just a small part of what heart means in the scriptures. It's actually a much bigger, much broader, much more deep word. I'm going to read you some stuff from a site that is extremely helpful for me as I study, just talking about the two different words. So first, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word lebab, say lebab. Yeah, that's right. Primary refers to the heart, not just as a physical organ, but as the center of human emotion, thought, will, and moral character. Used metaphorically to describe an inner person, encompassing feelings, which we think of, intellect, volition. It's frequently associated with one's inner life, their intentions, their spiritual state. In the culture and context of the Hebrew people, the heart was the seat of life. It was the core of who you were. We oftentimes separate emotion and intellect. The Hebrew people did not. The heart was seen as the source of wisdom and understanding and moral decision-making, and it was believed God could look into the heart and discern the true intentions and character of a people. So that's the Hebrew. Now listen to how similar the Greek sounds. In the New Testament, cardia is used metaphorically to refer to the inner self, right? Encompassing the mind, the will, the emotions, the moral center of a person. It represents the core of human identity. It's the seed of our thought, our emotions, decision-making, our true character, our intention. In the Greek culture, the heart was considered the center of physical and spiritual life. The heart was believed to be where God would communicate with humans and where faith and understanding reside. Do you see how it's going much bigger than just emotions and feelings? I mean, when Jesus and when Moses talked about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, they were just talking about, like, so much more than, I feel this way. But it was everything, the core of who somebody was. And translators over the years have wrestled with how to take that word, whether it's lebab or cardia, from the Hebrew or the Greek and put it into English in ways that expand out the meaning of it. I'm going to just look at four verses, not 1,052, but four verses. I'm going to read you from the New Living Translation first. And I want you to listen for the word lebab. I'm not going to say lebab, okay? But listen for what could be translated as lebab, all right? First passage found in Genesis chapter 20, you can just listen. This was the passage where Abraham had moved south to live with his wife, and as he had moved south, he had told everybody that his wife was his sister, and the king of that region, the sister wife caught the king's eye, and he called her in, okay? So before anything happened, Genesis chapter 20, we're listening for lebab, okay, listening for heart. But that night God came to Abimelech, the king, in a dream and told him, you're a dead man, for that woman you've taken is already married. But Abimelech had not slept with her yet, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Didn't Abraham tell me she's my sister? And she said herself, yes, he's my brother. I acted in complete innocence. My hands are clean. And in the dream, God responded, yes, I know you are innocent. That's why I kept you from sinning against me and why I did not let you be with her. Did you hear lebab in there? Let's listen to it with the actual word heart in the English Standard Version. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you're a dead man because the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech told her, whatnot. Now, Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, will you kill innocent people? Did he not say to himself, she is my sister, and she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I didn't let you touch her. You see, the New Living Translation was trying to expand out just the do-do-do-do-do-do, okay? Let's fast forward a little bit. We got Pharaoh. Right after all the 10 plagues, the people had left Egypt, and we see this happening. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away, they asked. Did you hear Labob? We'll see it from another translation. I think this one's actually the King James, so some of us might know it. Oh, yes, the 1900 version. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Huh. Same verse, just we're trying to broaden out the understanding of the word heart. Fast forward a little bit more, you got Moses. God talking to Moses again in Numbers chapter 15. They're given some rules and regulations, and God's giving Moses a dress code. Numbers 15, verse 37 to 39. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Throughout the generation to come, you must make tassels for the hems of your clothing and attach them with a blue cord. When you see the tassels, you remember and obey all the commands of the Lord instead of following your own desires and defiling yourselves as you are prone to do. Did you hear it? Oh, there we go. Now we're picking up on it. Desires. Okay? Fast forward, King Solomon. God asked King Solomon, what do you want? And King Solomon had the best answer ever. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11, God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, or fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I'll certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge that you requested. You hear it? It was early in that section. Desire, right? I mean, we could read that from the English Standard. I think God answered Solomon, because this was in your heart. It is so much a bigger word than just our feelings and our emotions. I mean, the New Living Translation, which is one of many, many translations, uses words like greatest desires and change their minds and complete innocence and clear conscience. When Moses said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, heart was so nuanced. Okay? The first step of living a whole life is loving God with every bit of the core of absolutely who we are. That makes sense? Okay. Hearing what we've heard today, would you expand out the definition of heart, at least scripturally, beyond emotions and feelings? What else would you add to it? I just want to see if I communicated in a way that made sense. Soul, okay. I missed all that because I can't hear out of my right ear. Thankfulness, okay. What else? Desire, okay. Keep going. Intellect, okay. Integrity, okay. Yeah. Commitment. So much bigger than just the warm fuzzies when you're sitting next to that crush in math class, yes? All right. Knowing that, pray with me just the beginning part of the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The heart. Loving God with all of who we are, okay? As you think back over this series, when you think of heart, think of so much more than just emotions. Now, I'm going to say amen, but that's not it, okay? Amen? All right, good. Now, I'm going to give you a freebie of something to think about over the course of the next 3 weeks, today and the next 3 weeks. This Shema that is right up there, it's absolutely a call to the oneness of God, right? In the Hebrew, the time and culture of the Hebrew people, the time and culture of Jesus and his people, the time and culture of us in 2024, there are a multiplicity, there's a multitude of gods that are vying for our attention, right? And this is a reminder that, hey, all those, no, there's just one. There's just one. Now, here's what's rich, and I actually think this is going to tie into the rest of our series. This verse is also a call to oneness in the body, to oneness in believers, okay? Just read the first part of that with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, I think I got caught last time because I said, does anybody know Hebrew? And of course, Joel said yes. So let me put up the just a little bit of Hebrew in there, not the Hebrew, but our English translations in it, okay? Hear, which means listen. Shema actually means listen. O Israel, the Lord, the word Lord is Yahweh, is God. And the word God is El. The Lord is one. So it would read, listen, O Israel, the Yahweh is El. The Lord is one. Now you may be wondering, how is that a call to unity? Originally the Bible wasn't written down. You know that, right? God didn't just like hand a book down from heaven and say, here's the story. Okay, the Old Testament especially was passed on through oral tradition over and over. And eventually in the time when Israel became a kingdom, all the rules in the first five books and the rest of the prophets and stuff were eventually written down. Now, if you know historically, you know that there was the golden years, King David, King Solomon, where Israel was a united kingdom, and then the kingdom split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You guys heard this history before? Okay. So when the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom split, their scribes also split. And the scribes in the north would call God El. But the scribes in the south would call God Yahweh. So when this passage was written down, they believe it was right around during the Babylonian exile, in their language, it was like scandalous. It was a gigantic call for unity. I mean, what the scribes were saying was, hear, O Israel, the Lord Yahweh. So you guys up there, actually down there, is God. He was saying, look, yes, one God, one people. He was putting them together. And I have to wonder what that has to do with wholeness, okay? This is stepping outside of heart, but I'm looking at it from a big picture. Is this call to oneness between two different tribes, who would have called the other people the other, right? Is this have something to do with wholeness? The authors were being subliminal, and we miss that most of the time because we don't, except for Joel, know Hebrew, and we don't read our scriptures in the Hebrew, okay? Now, those authors were subliminal. Jesus was not so subliminal. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 30, right? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this, love the Lord your God. Listen, O Israel, let the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. He didn't stop there. He continued. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No greater commandment is greater than these. No other commandment is greater than these. We've talked so much. You've heard, you've grown up in the church. Many of you, you've heard about love God, love others. And sometimes I've wrestled with, why do those get put together? And then I was recognizing today that with that Yahweh and that El, and then Jesus saying, I love God, but love others. I'm not sure if we can experience a wholeness of life unless we have others as part of it. I'm just chewing on that, right? Can we truly live a whole life? Even if God were to give us, even if the Spirit of God were to give us the power to completely love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, even if we were to have that perfectly, would we be living a whole life if we weren't loving others as well? That's just something I want us to kind of chew on, think about over these 4 weeks, okay? So that one's free this morning. Let's pray again, this entire prayer from the Shema. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. Pray together. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are on the road, and when you are going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I would encourage you guys over these next 4 weeks to spend time in that passage as well as the Mark 12:28 passage. Just sit with it as we dive deeper into heart, soul, mind, and strength while asking the question, can we truly live holistically without having others involved? I want to pray, and then I'm going to invite the ushers to come back forward. I'll invite Tim to come up and strum quietly in the background. We're going to take communion together. The ushers will pass the elements, hold on to them. We'll take it together. Use this time as a time of heart preparation to reflect on what's been said. Jesus, this morning we recognize that there is a great call to love you with all of us, with all of our being, with the center of us, the core of who we are, the engine of our life. And I thank you that we can do that with the Holy Spirit's help. Lord, I thank you for the continuity in Scripture from Moses saying this to Jesus saying this, and the fact that both are drawing us towards a life lived for God and for others. Lord, I pray that as we have some time and quiet, as the elements are being passed, that you would settle on us, perhaps letting us know ways in which we have not been loving you with our entire whole heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite the ushers to come forward. We will pass out the elements, hold on to them, and let this be a time of heart preparation.